Let us begin with a word of prayer, please. Lord Jesus, we are here this morning because somehow, in some way, in some place, at some time, you planted a seed in us, in our hearts and minds. We are here this morning because you spoke to us. O Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, giver of the seed, giver of the growth, bring your word to harvest in us, O Lord. Use me as your vessel this day, I pray. Amen. Have you ever tried to retell a funny story or a joke that the last time you told it, people just laughed and split their sides and cried, and the second time you tell it, it's a different crowd, and everybody just sort of sits there and stares at you thinking, what's so funny? We have words to explain that. We say, oh, you just didn't get it, did you? Or we say, well, I guess you had to have been there. Or, well, it loses something in the translation. We explain it away so that it's not really all that important that she didn't get it. But the fact is that storytelling, amusing anecdotes or tragic tales, are really a one-time experience. The variety of people listening, the inflections in our voice, just the way the sun and the sky looked that day, the mood of the day, all can impact how something is both delivered and received. And it's never the same way twice. Everything combines to create a once-in-a-lifetime atmosphere for the telling of that particular story or that particular incident. A story can bring a tear, or it can bring a smile, and yet the very, very next audience can experience it just the opposite way. And here we have Jesus. Mark tells us that Jesus spoke in parables, little stories. And sometimes I think, why didn't he just come out and say what he meant? Why does he leave it up to us to figure it out? You know, maybe he should have come up with a book entitled How to Be a Good Disciple, or maybe a brief description of the kingdom of God. That might be helpful. My personal favorite would be Seven Habits of Highly Effective Christians. Don't you think that has a nice ring to it? However, we have these parables, these stories, and when I think about why that might be, I think, well, maybe he didn't want to give us a book of prose. When's the last time any of you picked up and enjoyed reading the book of Leviticus or the first part of Numbers? Any hands? Did it have any special insight or meaning for you when you did that? I kind of doubt it. At least I can't ever speak of that being my experience. Somehow, I don't think that's what Jesus intended. He obviously didn't. He didn't want us to sit down and, what is this all about? Instead, he told stories. He told stories with which the people of his day and time, with which they could identify. When he talked about the shepherd, people knew what a shepherd was. They knew the kind of relationship the shepherd had with the sheep. When he talks here about the seeds growing, here we have this farmer, obviously not a very good one because he just sort of goes like that, it sounds like, with his seeds, but people identified with that. They knew that with the ground that they had, unless you got out there and really put those rows down the field, which was hard to do in the rocky soil that they had, some seed would grow, some seed would not. So he told a parable about the seed, as he told parables about other things with which his audience, the people today, were familiar. It's like we tell parables, we tell stories, stories of our lives, stories of things that have happened to us. We have the good news according to fill in the blank with your own name. Because when you tell stories of your life and of your interactions with God, you are telling a parable. You're talking about the life of an ordinary person with whom other people can identify. So when we share the gospel, we often, more likely than not, will tell the gospel, share the gospel through our parables, the parables of our own lives. You hear a lot, for example, about the gospel according to Leah. I tell you stories of how God has impacted my life in my sermons. I always have at least one story because I know nobody wants to sit there and just listen to this flat monologue. You want to have a story. You want to have something that is common and ordinary about common and ordinary people with whom you can relate. That's why I tell stories. We're all writing our own parables. We're all living our own story of our relationship with God, of what happens in our lives when God comes in and impacts us. We think about the gospel and its meaning for each one of us. And I'm a believer that we don't grow the gospel in our minds so much as we grow it in our hearts. We can read it, we can understand it, but it's when we are living it, when we see it in the eyes and the hearts and the actions of other people, when it claims our lives. That's heart knowledge. How many times has something occurred and you go, oh, it must be a God thing. And if you really would stop later and think about it, you just might truly, truly determine that it was a God thing. It wasn't just a surprise. It wasn't just a happenstance. You know that in that moment, God was intervening in your life and the lives, or at least one life around you. Kind of like that story of Indiana Jones. The gospel just kind of pulls us forward. How many of you saw Indiana and the Last Crusade, where he and his dad go out looking for the Holy Grail, and things get to the point that his dad has been hurt, and Indy has to go find the Grail and bring back its waters to save his father's life? And his father has this book that he's written down all these clues in, and he's remembering that. And he comes to a point where he comes out and he looks down and he is on the edge of a huge ravine. And he knows one more inch and he's going to go over. Not only will it be a terrible fall, but it's going to be fatal. It's so far down there. And I don't know about you, but I don't like heights. And when I look at that movie and I see him looking down and they show that ravine, wherever I am, sitting or standing, I start backing up. But he's standing there and he remembers talking about, or his father writing about, taking a leap of faith. And he stands up there and he takes, I don't stand on one foot very well, so I have to hold on. He takes one foot and then there. What you couldn't see looking down from the edge, his foot steps on a bridge that visually blends in with the rocks so well that you couldn't see it. But he took that step of faith and he's on a little bridge that carries him across this ravine to where he needs to be. And what does he do? He throws a little sand over it so when he comes back, he knows exactly where it's going to be. The Spirit calls us to step out in faith. But the Spirit also gives us the assurance and the confidence and the faith to do so. Because we know that God would not call us to do something that God did not empower us to do, that God was not with us as we did it. It's been now about 30 years ago that when Cole was a little tight, we came down one weekend to spend some time with some folks in a Presbyterian church in Palm Beach Gardens. They were looking for what they call the family life director, somebody to do Christian education, cradle the grave, and do youth ministry, and direct the child care center. Well, before the summer was over, Cole and I had moved down. And before the year was over, the pastor had left to accept another call. And I found myself, for the second time in my life, the only full-time church employee left. Everybody else that worked for the church worked part-time. So I found myself working with the worship committee and planning worship and even preaching, doing stewardship, visiting, counseling, all kinds of things that clergy usually does, that lay people don't usually do unless they have a degree in counseling or something like that. But I found myself doing that, and as I look back, that was God preparing me to do what God was calling me to do later in life. And then God opened another door. I attended seminary and actually officially got the title to do all that. And then another door opened and I became a hospice chaplain. And then another door opened and I was trained in interim ministry. Now I tell you these things not to say, oh, look at me, but to see, let you see how in my life and probably in yours in other ways, God prepares you for what he calls you to do next. He doesn't say to me, go out and plant a row of trees out there. I'd have to call Tony to come do that. I don't know about planting trees. You know, what if he said, go fix that car out there? Well, that's why I married Larry. He does things like that. I don't know how to. God prepares us to do what God calls us to do. I was a hospice chaplain long before I went back to Orlando for a while to care for my mother as she was dying with cancer. I was prepared for that. Emotionally, I'm not sure I could have done that if I didn't have some idea of what was going on. Now, if things had worked out the way I wanted, I would not be standing up here preaching. I would be standing in front of a classroom writing on the board because I would be a math teacher. Imagine that. The last math that I ever really looked at was numbering the pages on my sermon. God had other things in store. So God prepared me, like the planter, the farmer, throwing out the mustard seed. He was throwing out seeds in my life to see which ones would take root because he knew what he wanted me to do long before I did. And I bet if you look back on your life so far, that is exactly what has happened in your life. And it will continue to happen in your life. Now, this isn't a fine sermon with 3 points and all the other things, but I just really felt a need and an urge to talk today about scattering seeds. Mustard seeds, little tiny seeds, words, little tiny expressions. God doesn't give us a full book, Seven Habits of Christians, to read and share and loan to other people. He gives us words to express our own stories, words to tell the stories of our own lives. And that's what it is that we are called to share with others. You don't have to have a faith that you pull out like a new suit and shake, say, oh, that looks good, let me put that on. You don't have to come across as a perfect person. You don't have to be perfect. God uses our foibles as well. God uses all of us for all of Him, for our seeds to sprout, to become the good news for others, as we continue to write our own gospels, the good news according to fill in your own name. That is the good news of God's love that you have to tell the world. Yes, you can tell the stories of the Bible, but when you tell your own stories, that lets the world know that, by golly, that really happened. By golly, God really does work in the lives of ordinary folk. Yeah, He does. I used to, notice the past tense, every spring put out an herb garden, and sometimes we would have some herbs, but now that it is completely overgrown with weeds, I don't do so much in it, but it's kind of the opposite of that old joke about the man who bought a farm and everything was falling apart and the fields were filled with weeds, and he worked hard and he cleared the fields and he planted the seeds and things started to sprout, and one day the minister came by and he said, oh my goodness, things really look nice around here. You've been working hard, haven't you? And he said, yes, I have. And I said, sure is a good thing that God came along and helped you put this in place, isn't it? And the fellow looks at the preacher and he says, well, I'll tell you, preacher, think it's the other way around. When God had it by himself, it didn't look so good. He needed me to come along. Kind of like the opposite of that. When God has it, it looks pretty good, pretty good. When I did my garden, God did the growth. I don't know how, but He did. And I let go of my responsibility to do the pruning and the weeding and kind of keep up with it. I didn't hold up my bargain. So I guess I was not preordained to be a garden grower. Maybe if I tried again and kept up with it, I would. But that's the other part, the stamina for us to keep up with it. God doesn't work in our lives so we can one day tell one story to one person. He works in our lives so that we are filled with His love, with His mercy, with the knowledge of Him acting in our lives, knowing that He gives us the strength and the courage to take that leap of faith, that one little step, and we tell somebody about it. And we all have stories we can tell. The words of a parable, the words of a sermon, the words that you say, the words that you share with a friend or even with a stranger. Have you ever had anybody say to you, well, God bless you, and you respond with, God does. Have you ever seen the look on somebody else's face when you say that? Usually they kind of do a double take. You have just witnessed to that person that God works in your life and you are aware of it and you are thankful for it. It's easy, it's simple, little words. Oh, God does. Oh, yes, I was blessed. Oh, yes. Maybe you're here today because you want to hear a word to take out with you today, the word of God to share. Or maybe you're here just because you know that within this fellowship, your own faith is strengthened and you get nurtured in this place. God takes our words and he blesses them. As the mustard seed of faith grows, so our faith grows. And like that big tree, our faith gets to the point where it too can shelter us. And it too can shelter others. And it can become a massive place of shelter and growth for a community as we share with each other. And as God nurtures and grows our mustard seed. Thanks be to God.